There's a lot of opinions, a lot of, you know, controversy, but there's one message. You know, Paul knew that, and he writes that in the book of Ephesians. You know, when you answer this call to stand before people and preach a message, you get critiqued. How do I look? Does these pants make my butt look big? You know, there was a time before there were mirrors. Do you know that? There weren't always mirrors. How do you like that, ladies? Yeah. And people relied on each other to tell each other how they looked. You know that? And that's called a soulmate. Someone you could depend on to tell you how you looked. Now, I see myself as a pretty nice guy, you know. You might see me as a jerk. I don't know. I don't know how you view me, you know. I mean, but I have a soulmate, Judy, who tells me how I look. She told me this morning, "You look nice." Wow, nice. I didn't, but I looked in the mirror, you know, to make sure, you know, I mean, but we need those kind of people in our life that will tell us, you know, speak the truth in love and tell us how we look, how we seem. And that's important in the Christian experience to have those kind of people who are going to speak the truth to you in love and tell you what you look like and what you're saying and give you that critique. You did a wonderful job this morning, Megan. You know, you look better behind that little piano than that big one, you know. I mean, you look great. Doug, you look fabulous this morning. Oh, of course, we all want compliments, don't we? We don't want people to tell us, you know, our rough spots and that. But there is a place for that. And that's what we're called together to do. And that's our theme for this month is together. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. It's much more fun together. To do this worship experience this morning was fun because it was together. I mean, it was just, there was more power in it. Miracles were released. Signs and wonders were released in our lives. They were available to us right here together. And as you could see, it's hard to gather people around love than violence. Because I saw the Muni lot this morning. Whoa! Woo! Now, I'm not saying football's bad. I'm just saying it's aggressive. Slightly aggressive, okay? I mean, it's not a dance they're having there, you know? It's a competition. And it's a tough competition. And I love it, you know? But, I mean, obviously, it can gather more people than love. It seems to be able to gather more people than worship music. It seems to gather more people, you know, from what I saw. And it's interesting. But here Paul talks about, you know, what is the full gospel? In Ephesians 3:19, this is his prayer for us together. He says, to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ, which passes this knowledge, which is beyond our limited understanding. The love of Christ is way beyond our limited understanding. Whew, thank you. We don't even get it. We hardly get it. Our love comes up to this level, and it doesn't go any farther. That's natural love. We talked about agape love last week. You know, we talked about unconditional love. Oh, my goodness, it's so huge. It's so beyond our understanding that you may, as a group, whew, this is a group exercise, the church, he's talking to the church, that you may be filled. I love that word. Filled. Filled. You know there was an infilling this morning? I mean, God was releasing love to music and worship, and we could just receive that impartation of love. And then miracles happen. When you When you receive an impartation of love, it brings healing. It's been the center for my healing process is God's love. Basking in his love. Soaking in his love. Intentional soaking in God's love. Oh my goodness, I love it. I just love to soak up the sun. Soak up the sun and receive healing just throughout my body. And it says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, love is not theology, folks, okay? You could have a lot of different theologies. And I'm not a theologian, okay? I'm the least of all, that's qualified to do this job. But I've had an encounter with love. I mean, that changed my life. Could somebody remember the date for me? July 17th, 1979. Whew. An encounter with love. Oh, I mean, okay. There's a download right now. See, you got to recognize the downloads. Oh, that love. And in church, it's easy because you got the music and, you know, you got the loving family around you. But a lot of times in the world, it's hard to find those moments of encounter where love just fills you. Fills you. Oh, I'm training myself. I train myself to just be aware. It's an awareness of those moments. It can be anywhere. It can be anywhere. God is no respecter of persons. No, and he's omnipresent. So he'll fill you with his love. So this is the fullness of the gospel for me, folks. You know, I mean, I could preach a lot of things. A lot of different things. I could preach end times or, you know, good times or bad times and, you know, the times of the seasons. And, you know, I could preach, baptism of the Spirit, all this. But the baptism of the Spirit is the baptism of love, that we all might be filled with the fullness of God. The Spirit of love is the fullness of God that changes our life and changes those around us. See, I carry that sign, but you can carry that love outside this place, and you become a sign and a wonder outside this place in the midst of the most difficult times. Hard times can harden people's hearts, and love can grow cold. I'm telling you, the love of many will grow cold in hard times. It's either going to get gory or glory, one or the other. Whew, you know what I'm talking about? It's getting glory or glory. And I see the glory. I see the glory everywhere. The glory of God is not hidden, folks. Oh, my goodness. It's all over the place. It's wonderful. And we get it in this time of fellowship together. The glory of God on your faces, on your children's faces. Oh, I love it. So let's start over in Ephesians 3. Let's start in Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this reason. For this, he's going to give us the reason for why he's praying so hard for the church. He says, right here, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. See, he's a prisoner of love. Wouldn't matter if he's in a jail cell. I think he's writing from a jail cell. But he's a prisoner of love. I'm a prisoner of love. I can't talk about anything else. I used to be a prisoner of lust. I used to be a prisoner of hate. I used to be a prisoner of addiction. I was imprisoned by those things. But now I'm a prisoner of love. Oh, my goodness. I was bound by things that, you know, I talk about freedom. Was in the peace movement, but I had no peace. Oh, I was a prisoner of anger and frustration. But he came to break you out of that prisoner and become a prisoner of love. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. When we see the name Jesus Christ, he is love. He is love. I am a prisoner of Christ for you. How many Gentiles we have in this room this morning? He says, for the Gentiles. For you, a call. You know, in order to understand this love, you have to have an encounter. I'm telling you. Think about it. Yes, I see that. Amen. Think about the time you had the encounter. We're here because we've had encounters with Jesus Christ. Call it what you like, being born again. Oh, I get born again. Oh, theologically, brother, you can't do that. God can do whatever he wants, okay? His mercy is new every morning, okay? That's the encounter. Think of the encounter, when you encountered him for the first time. Oh, just think of it. How glorious, how wonderful. Encounter brings revelation. Every guy in this Bible, from Peter, James, John, John, the book of Revelations, he had an encounter, and then he got a revelation, and then there was an impartation. Write that down, somebody. Okay, write it, Rhonda. Encounter, revelation, impartation. Oh, I got it. I got it. Whew, I got the impartation. You got the impartation. Now you just got to give it away. Your heart needs to be ready to give it away. In all these cases, he says, oh my gosh, here it is. Oh, Paul was the least to become a prisoner of Christ. I mean, who was he? He was a Jew, a teacher, a rabbi. He was the least. Just like me, I was the least, voted the least in my class to become a minister. I told you that when I was at my reunion last week. They said, how many thought I'd be a minister? Not a hand went up. You know what I mean? You? And they asked me to do the invocation, which I had, like I said, I don't even know what that was. But it was a prayer to open things up. So the least of all becomes the most of all, and the best of all, and the greatest of all. Oh, my gosh. What God can do. Jerry, what God can do in your life. Oh my, it's unbelievable. It's wonderful. Even in hard times, difficult times, in sickness and in health. Oh my goodness. Well, look what happened to Paul. Look over in Acts 7. This is where I think he had his encounter. Acts 7. I didn't, this came to me yesterday, I think. Acts 7. Oh, I hope I get this right. Because it's written down, Acts 7:57. Then, Acts 7, oh, I got to back up a little. Oh, I was doing so good. Okay, then he said, this is the stoning of Stephen. Wow. Stoning of Stephen. It says, then they cried out as Stephen was preaching the good news, the love of Christ. And then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Whew. Wow. And the witness there laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Paul was right there. The least to be a prisoner for Christ. The least to follow Christ. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Oh, my goodness. I think that's where he had an encounter. He had an encounter with the loving God. He was astounded at the witness of Stephen. People can be astounded at your witness in this hour. People can be astounded at how you love God. And he knelt down and cried, Lord, do not charge them with these sins. And he said this, and he fell asleep. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. Whew. Here's the guy that preached almost the whole, or writ the whole of the New Testament. I mean, those books. He wrote those, man. At that time, great persecution rose against the church. Oh, my goodness. I guess there were tough times back then, too, huh? In verse 3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Tough times. Havoc of the church. Entering every house. Oh, you think you got a bet. Entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Wow. Whew. I guess it was a rough time for gathering together. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Nothing should stop us, folks. Getting together as friends and family and worshiping God. Verse 9, it says, then Saul still breathing, chapter 9, verse 1, then Paul, Saul still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from the synagogue of Damascus so that he found any who were of the way. That was before it was called Christianity. It was called the way. And he said, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, here comes the encounter, another encounter. Whew, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, oh, I love the suddenlies of God. Oh, the night I got saved, I didn't go there to get saved, folks. I went there just to appease my girlfriend, Judy. Will you go to church with me? Sure. If you let me back in the house. And she did. He says, and a bright light shone around him. Oh, the light of love. The light of love. He couldn't believe God still loved him after he persecuted the whole church. After he killed Christians. Oh, my gosh. He got a revelation right here. Encounter, then revelation. And he heard a voice, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, when you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Resisting God's love. He's resisting God's love. And he needed a revelation. He needed a revelation. And he got the revelation of his love. Encounter, revelation, and impartation. And what he was called to be a messenger of this love. Might have happened in your life. Think about it. That's a message you're supposed to carry. God's goodness, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. Even if you're the worst of sinners. I was the worst of sinners. That was my reputation. Honky tonk, stardust cowboy. You know, didn't want nothing to do with God. You know, I was bound, like I said, by lust, greed, vanity, all those things. And I had an encounter. Brought me to my knees, knocked me off my high horse, and gave me an impartation. Oh, my goodness. And this is why he's praying here. He said, indeed, you have heard of the dispensation of grace. Right now, that's what we're in. We're in a dispensation of grace. You're looking for a revival? We're in a revival of grace because people aren't getting what they deserve. Are they? Great grace was upon them all. Oh, we're praying for revival. We're praying for revival. The revival's happening, folks. You might be missing it. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace. It's being poured out on me and all many others. Many others throughout this whole country, throughout this whole world. Oh, my goodness, the grace. Revival of his grace. And it says, and you heard of this grace of God. This grace of God, which is given to me for you. See, you get grace to pour out grace. You have mercy to pour out mercy. You have love to pour out love. Not to criticize, not to judge, to pour out, to release. Release that love. Release that grace. Not your opinion. Release the love. Unconditional. It's agape love, unconditional love. And indeed, you have heard of the dispensation of grace. I read that. Now how that by revelation. You got to have a revelation of this love. If you don't have a revelation of love in this hour, you will be very unhappy. You will be miserable. You listen to every voice out there except for this voice. This special messenger. I'm a special messenger, folks. Ooh, God called me for this hour to preach this message to this group of people and anybody else who has ears to hear. And that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries that I have briefly written here. It's a mystery. It's a fivefold mystery. It's a total mystery. I can't explain his love. I can't explain why he loves me. There's no explanation. I'm mean, I don't even want to let you know my wife's pet name for me, but I'll tell you what. I mean, we all get in those places, right? But he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, my goodness. All those places, all those times we fail and blow it. The mystery of his love. Why does he love me? The mystery, the fivefold mystery. Number one, it's for everybody. No respecter of people. His love is for everybody. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You're not going to understand it. That guy should really get it for that. I'm telling you. He's not getting what he deserves. Woo. Oh, my goodness. It's a mystery. It's a mystery of why he sent his son. It's a divine mystery. I love it. I love encountering it. I love running after it. I love soaking in it. I just love something beyond me to understand. I just do. And there's a lot of things that I don't understand. But I'm telling you, this is the mystery of his love. It says, which in other ages would not made known to the sons of men, as he has now been revealed by the Spirit. See, this revelation only comes through the Spirit, not in the flesh. If we saw everything in the flesh, oh my goodness, we'd be so discouraged, so angry, so frustrated, so afraid. We would be terrified. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and what? Love and a sound mind. Oh, I'm in my right mind. People might be out of their minds, But I mean, I am in my right mind. To be after this fullness of love, Oh, it's so wonderful. It says, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So it's for everyone. It's a partnership for everyone. It's fellowship. It's what we're talking about. It's not independent, us four and no more. It's for everyone. God so loved what? The world. Now, will everyone receive it? No, probably not. Some people will reject it, but you can still keep loving them. Loving them. Keep loving them. Oh, it says, in other ages, it was not made known, but in this age, it's just pouring out. It's pouring out everywhere. It's being revealed by his Spirit that we're fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises. Oh, my goodness. That's what I love about being together. I'm with a group of people who are joint heirs. We understand our inheritance in Christ, love, joy, peace. Oh, it's all ours. It's right there. I want to be with that crowd. Oh, I don't want to be with the naysayers and the judges and the frustrated and the angry. I want to be with the lovers. Don't you want to be with the lovers of God? Oh, my goodness. I love being around them. I love around people who are positive and joyful. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, you were there so much for me when I was down and weak and out. There you are every week, every day, sending prayers, sending cards, sending money, sending love. Oh, my goodness, it healed me. It healed me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't tell you enough. Do a little dance, make a little love. Woo, I'm telling you, there's healing in it. There's healing in this place. Oh, don't get me excited. Oh, of which I became a minister. That's a call of God in my life. To show love, to preach love, to talk about love, to minister love. I'm not a theologian. I'm a mystic. I believe in a mystery. The mystery of his love. Something I can't explain. Something that's hard to grasp. Something that's very hard. It's out of my reach, really. Oh, it only can be imparted through love. Oh, I love it. Oh, of which I became a minister. Of what? The gift of grace. Now be careful, brother. Don't get too much grace out. Just pull a little back. We're stingy with love. We're stingy with grace. You can be stingy with money, but those other things, give away. Give it away. Just give it away, because you'll get more. It evokes partnership in everything that God has. Number one, it's for everyone. Number two, it evokes partnership in everything that God has. We're joint heirs together in Christ. I'm not in and you're out. You're not in and I'm out. We're in this together, folks. Together we can make a difference. And we have fellowship with this mystery, and grace empowers us. That's number three. Grace empowers us. I wrote it down. Grace empowers us. We can't do this in our own strength. We try. We get tired. We get mad. We get frustrated. We get angry. But in grace, oh God, give me the grace to do this. Give me the grace to love this morning like never before. Oh, let me love those around me. Let me a vessel of your love, your grace, your peace. Oh, my goodness. Oh, to me, who am less and the least of all saints, that grace was given. How many can say that besides Doug and me? Doug wasn't looking to get saved, folks. Okay, I've heard the testimony. He was force saved. He was force saved around a kitchen table, you know. How many were force saved, you know? Say this prayer after me, brother. Force saved. You can't force save anybody, you know. He eventually really got saved. And oh, it's a process. It's a process, folks. Salvation really is a process in our life. We're on a journey, and I love the journey. Oh, my goodness. And this is a rocky place we're in. We're in a very rocky place. It's very uphill. But he's there right with us, loving us, pouring out his grace, pouring out his wisdom. Oh, turn off the TV and listen to him. Listen to him. Amen. Who can say amen to that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, my goodness. It's so powerful. Oh, times when you know, I just, we're so blessed. We're so incredible. It opens our heart just to show love, to be love. There's so many people to... I'm going to tell you what it looks like to be a prisoner of love. And you might think, you know, that's controversial. When I see 10,000 people under a bridge at the border of Mexico, I don't point fingers to whose fault it is. That's being full of love. Politicians, I don't look to blame politicians. I don't look to blame, oh, they shouldn't have come. They're there. They're in need. They're hungry. The kids need help. Pray to God how you could help them. We don't need your opinion. Fullness of love wants to find a way where there is no way. Because I'll tell you what, they didn't ask my opinion about any of this stuff. They haven't called me recently and said, what's your idea for immigration? You know, am I happy with the current way it is? No. Fullness of love sees it from a different place. Fullness of love sees it from a different place. How do I look to you this morning? Am I still looking good? Are you still loving me? See, fullness of love has a different perspective. It comes from a different place. Fullness of love comes from the heart of God. It's not about your opinion. It's about love. That's what it's about. The mystery of love. And there's so many needs out there. Oh, my goodness. It says, things in life will make you a lover or a hater. I mean, it just will. Things in this life will make you a lover or a hater. See, encounter moves us to a revelation of his love. And then we become lovers. We have a revelation of this divine mystery. The mystery of his love is revealed. In the church of Philadelphia, if you want to look in the book of Revelation, the smallest church that Jesus spoke to. Let's go there for 1 minute, and then we'll have communion. In the book of Revelation, how many know that one, that book of Revelation? It says, to the church, to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, the special messenger. Special, you may be that special messenger that God wants to send you to people. To the church at Philadelphia, these things I say, he who is holy, he who is true, he who holds the key of David. I'm telling you, the key of David is love. David means beloved. That's what it means. And the key to this whole thing is love. Because he that who opens and no one shuts, he who shuts and no one opens. See, it's the key to this life. We have an open door that we didn't open. He opened for us by his blood. We can walk right through it and walk in love and joy and peace any place. Any place. That's the key of David. David knew the love of God. David knew his mercy was new every morning. David knew he was beloved. He was a rascal. He was, you know, a sinner, but he knew he had this revelation. God loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I am the beloved of God. Oh, but for the grace of God go I. And I know your works. See, I have set before you this morning an open door. No man can shut it. No politician. Nothing. No political party. No law can shut this door. It's a law of love. It's a higher law. It's a higher law. It can't shut you out. I know your works. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength and have kept my word. What's his word? To love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. The smallest of all churches, it doesn't matter the size. If we have this love message, no one can shut us out. No one can slam a door in our face. We can go anywhere and do anything we want. Now, we might get stoned like Stephen. We run that risk in this day and age. But no one can say you can't do it. It says, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. How do you not deny the name of Jesus in this hour? You walk in love. You just walk as he walked. You walk as he walked. Oh. Accepted in the blood, the realization that I am fully known and fully loved. He knows everything about you, Doug, everything, but he fully loves you. Don't ever deny that. I'll hit you over the head with that sign. Fully known. He knows everything about you. Yeah, that too. Yeah, that thought too. Oh. But he fully loves you. That's a mystery. That is an absolute. Anybody else had a bad thought lately? He knows your every thought, everything. But what? He loves you. Fully known and fully loved. Fully known and fully loved. I just think this morning of the love of parents for their children. Oh, my goodness. They fully know them, but they fully love them. They fully know their faults. They fully know everything about them. I know I have 7 kids, and I'm telling you, they're not all doing what I want them to do right now, but I fully love them, and my door is always open to them, because I'm that father. I'm like the prodigal father, always open, refrigerator always open. Come and dine, no restrictions, because I know that God loves them, fully known, fully loved. Then all I can do is return the favor. If I know that I'm fully loved and fully known then all I can do is return the favor to the rest of humanity, knowing they'll get back what I give. That's it. That's it. Let's go back to Ephesians just for a minute. The game starts at 1 o'clock. Or 1:10. So Paul continues to pray. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church. That's what he's pouring out right now. More wisdom, more understanding, more love, more grace than we've ever known in our life, because it's a progressive thing. It's just not a one-time thing. It grows and grows and grows. Oh, it grows and grows and grows. In whom we have boldness and access. This is what gives us holy boldness and access to everything. This is what gives us this love with confidence through faith in him. Don't lose your confidence in God. Many are losing their confidence, folks. Where's God in all this? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he's for you for this reason. This is the reason. Paul had this tremendous encounter, tremendous revelation, and now he has this unbelievable impartation to the church that's held up for thousands of years. It hasn't changed. In all circumstances, in all times, it's exactly the same. Exactly the same prayer. When I was at the house of prayer for 10 years, this was our prayer we prayed every day. Here it is. Here's his prayer. He says, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. The circumstances that are going on right now and all around us can only affect the outer man. This love is for the inner man. So you are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And it does not hold you back. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in this great love. Rooted and grounded in this. That's what we sang about this morning. His love changes everything. Everything. It changes everything. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, it's for everyone, with all the saints, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. How deep, how wide, beyond our imagination. You need a bigger God. You're trying to put God in a box. Well, it's only for this group or for that person or this person. No, it's bigger, wider, deeper than that, than you could even imagine to go. You need to break out of your small thinking and your hard heart into a bigger place. Oh my gosh, that's the universe, folks. That's the universe, God of this world. And to know the love of Christ, which is beyond our limited understanding, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that is working in us right this very minute. Now I'm going to ask you to get up. Stand up, go to the side tables, and get communion together. Then bring it back to your seats, and we'll have communion. We'll have communion together. It's a powerful impartation. Communion is an incredible impartation of his love. If you don't know the depth of his love, the power of his blood, the purpose of his body, you can get healed today. you can get healed. Mm. Ron, bring me one, would you? See, this is meant to do together, folks. This is communion, the community of the saints. Thank you. Mm. Oh, my goodness. We're going to take this together. It's our heritage. It's our inheritance. Communion is our inheritance. It's a sign and it's a wonder of His great love. Just a sign and a wonder of His great love. It's an impartation. It's a revelation. I got a revelation of God's love in communion while I was yet a sinner. In a basement of a United Church of Christ with two old ladies that smelled like mildew, okay, on Monday, Thursday, but they let me take communion with them, and I got a revelation of His love. Oh, whew, wow, wasn't 6 months later I got saved. Just, whew, oh my goodness. The night before Jesus died, He took bread. The bread of life, something we encounter every day, but sometimes don't see the revelation. It's a revelation of His body broken for us. Let's eat the bread together. Body of Christ. Mm. It's powerful. In like manner, it said when he finished the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of what blessing?" As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do this in remembrance of my great love for you. Let's drink together. Whew. Well, Lord, thank you for letting me get that all out. Whew. In record time. So we thank you for this church and all the other churches meeting across this city, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you for that we are in fellowship with them. We're in this together. Even those that couldn't come this morning who are out there who once came all the time, Lord, we thank you. We're in this together. And we thank you. We can meet with them again and love on them and just be a blessing. So I just release, I bless this congregation to go out and be the love of Christ that passes knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Whew. Hey, Sandy's coming back next week. I think she's on her way back now, isn't she? She comes back on Sunday, or she drives back on Sunday, and it looks like she had a wonderful time. So I'm glad that I could, you know, be here to fill in for and just to look forward to some solid teaching. Amen.